Hello and welcome to the commentary for Lesson 304, Song of Songs, Chapters 1 and 2. I loved this. Did you love this? Beautiful imagery and poetry. A couple of things were interesting to me. I couldn't tell if it was written by, you assume that it's written by Solomon, but it seems that maybe it's not, because in verse 7, it says, "Tell me, my love, where you are leading your flock today." This is the woman speaking to the young man. So it's about one young woman and one young man, and they're just talking back and forth. It's almost like they're writing love letters back and forth. So it's more like that than an actual poem, but their words are so beautifully written that it resonates as a poem, doesn't it? So, but in verse 7, when she says, "Tell me, my love, where are you leading your flock today? Where will you rest your sheep at noon? For why should I wander like a prostitute among your friends and their flocks?" So the young man in this back and forth, in this writing, he's a shepherd. But it's confusing because there's also lines that say, that call him a king. And Solomon's name is used, but only as a description. It says, "Dark as the tents of Kedar, dark as the curtains of Solomon's tents." So the Easy English commentary says that they don't really know who wrote this. It could have been King Solomon, but it could have been anybody. And they actually question whether or not it was King Solomon because of the shepherd reference. Also because it's about the love between one man and one woman. And we know that Solomon had many women, many wives. So he didn't really have, as far as we know, this kind of love. Or perhaps it was his first love and he would steal away with her or something. We don't really know. But I think the theme, a couple ideas are given. I guess Bible students have different opinions on this, and one is that it's just a romantic poem, or that it's just writings between a young man and young woman who are clearly in love. Eventually, this couple does get married, and I don't know how they know that in the commentary. It must come up in for maybe later in the songs, in the scripture, Song of Songs. So maybe that comes up later, but they point to the idea that this couple does get married. This seems like the couple and the kind of love that everyone is searching for, doesn't it? And I love how the young woman at the beginning of this in chapter 1 and a little bit again in chapter 2, she feels, you can tell she's feeling insecure because she is a common girl. She knows all the young women adore him. That's in verse 3. "No wonder all the young women love you. Your name is like its spreading fragrance." Even his name she loves to hear. And then it says, "Young women of Jerusalem." So that could be their friends or maybe her little gaggle of women that she's around. "Oh, how happy we are for you, O King. We praise your love even more than wine." So they're basically saying, "We are so happy for you guys. This is just wonderful love. We support this relationship," basically. The young woman, because of her insecurities, doesn't take that at face value. In fact, she gets a little snarky with these women. She says, "How right they are to adore you." She sees through it. She knows they adore him. "I am dark but beautiful, O women of Jerusalem." And then she says, "Don't stare at me because I am dark. The sun has darkened my skin. My brothers were angry with me. They forced me to care for the vineyard, so I couldn't care for myself, my own vineyard." So see, she feels like her dark skin makes her unattractive. She feels insecure, and she hasn't been able to take care of herself. She's been under the control of her brothers who didn't treat her very well. And so now she has an opportunity for love, and it's almost like she can't even believe it herself. And then verse 7, when she says, "Tell me, my love, where are you leading your flock today?" Okay, so that's the indication that he's a shepherd. But if you keep going, "Where will you rest your sheep at noon? For why should I wander like a prostitute among your friends and their flocks?" I think she's feeling a little pathetic there, right? She's like, "I'm wandering around looking for my love, and I feel like an idiot." So that's very clear she feels insecure. His response is so sweet. He says, "If you don't know, oh, most beautiful woman," he's kind of giving her a reality check. "Look, I know you may not see that you are beautiful, but you are beautiful to me. Follow the trail of my flock." He wants her to find him. And so he gives her a tip. He says, "Follow the trail of my flock and graze your young goats by by the shepherd's tents." And then he says, "You are exciting as a mare among Pharaoh's stallions." So Pharaoh's stallions are strong and highly prized horses. So we might take offense to that if someone said we're as attractive as a horse, but that meant something in that statement, to say that a mare caused excitement among the Pharaoh's stallions. He meant that as a compliment. "How lovely are your cheeks, your earrings set them afire. How lovely is your neck, enchanted by a string of jewels. We will make for you earrings of gold and beads of silver." So he has dreams. He's reassuring her that he finds her beautiful. He gives little compliments about specific things that he thinks of when she's away: her neck, her cheeks. And he has dreams, clearly, of a relationship with her, because he wants to buy her jewels. So that's a man that really has it bad for her, right? And then it's confusing because, again, she's talking about the king. This was confusing. Verse 12, "The king is lying on his couch, enchanted by the fragrance of my perfume." The king. The king is not a shepherd. So, the commentaries say that the word king could be just what she calls him, but that he's not an actual king. They just call each other king, queen. Maybe that's like their pet names for each other. I don't know. But when she says the king is lying on this couch, enchanted by the fragrance of my perfume, you can kind of almost imagine that she's saying she knows that. And maybe he told her that he smells her perfume even when she's gone from him, right? Maybe she wore his jacket or something. I don't know. Maybe she sat there or laid there at one point, and he still smells her smell. And it's precious to him. And so it just kind of lets you know how much they think of each other. And then she says, "My lover is like a sachet of myrrh." Now, myrrh is an essential oil. Well, it's an essential oil today, but it's an oil that comes from a plant, and it's got kind of a woodsy smell, and so that could have been used as cologne back then. That is sort of a male scent, I guess you could say. "My lover's like a sachet of myrrh lying between my breasts." So she's still, you know, they were probably having a heavy makeout session or something, I don't know, and she still smells him, and she loves it. So I think that the idea of this scripture, verses 12 through 14, is that they smell each other's scents, even in their absence from each other. Verse 14, I wanted to read that. Well, let me read the verse first. It says, "He is like a bouquet of sweet henna blossoms from the vineyards of En-Gedi." I wanted to read what Easy English says about this. "At the end of the events, in verses 10 to 13, the dove builds their nests in the cliffs. So the man says that the woman is like a dove." Wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is for chapter 2. Sorry about that. So 14 from chapter 1. En Gedi, okay, let me read the verse again. Sorry about that. He is a bouquet of sweet henna blossoms from the vineyards of En Gedi. En Gedi is a special place. It is a beautiful village with gardens that is in the middle of a desert. So these flowers, which came all the way from those gardens, would seem very special. That is how special this woman considers this man to be. So they are just gushing over each other, and they're expressing that love openly. We play head games now a lot of times, don't we? But they are being very, very blunt and very expressive about their feelings for one another, which is always a better idea if you can do it. Okay. You are so handsome, my love, pleasing beyond words. The soft grass is our bed. Fragrant cedar branches are the beams of our house. And pleasant-smelling firs are the rafters. Now, Easy English said that this was a metaphor, but really I think it's just maybe says that they met under a tree, or that they would go out and meet each other outside, because we know he was a shepherd and she was catching up with him, so they probably had a little place to the side that they kind of had a special place, and it would be under a tree. That makes sense, right? Okay, and then we start verse 2, or chapter 2. And where she says, I am the spring crocus blooming in the Sharon on the Sharon plain, the lily of the valley. Now, the spring crocus is a common flower. And so she's probably saying here. Sorry, I got a weird call that I just hung up on. Okay, she's probably saying here that she is a common flower and that she's common and really doesn't, she's still in awe of why he even likes her. She doesn't see herself as beautiful or special the way that he does. So she needs a little more reassurance. And of course he comes through because he loves her. He says in verse 2, like a lily among thistles is my darling among young women. So yeah, you may be a common flower, but only among thistles. He sees her as extraordinary in comparison to the other women. So then it just goes on and on about how much just their compliments and their love fest just keeps going. Verse 4 says, he escorts me to the banquet hall. It's obvious how much he loves me. So I don't know if that's literal, but if he escorts her to a banquet hall, that would be a public thing. Their friends were supportive of their love. So this is a public relationship. It almost occurred to me before when I was reading, I thought, well, maybe she belongs to the king, and that's why the reference is to the king, but she's escaping with a shepherd. But here, this is a public, we see that that's not the case because it says that this is a public relationship. It's not secret. And then you see, come away with me, come away with me. And then verse 14 says, my dove is hiding behind the rocks. This is the young man speaking. My dove is hiding behind the rocks, behind an outcrop on the cliff. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is pleasant and your face is lovely. I love it. They just so desire each other. They look forward to each other. This is young first love intensity at its core. I love it. A lot of scholars will compare that to saying that this is a metaphor for Christ's love for us and the way that we can love him. And again, we don't really know who wrote it, but I don't think, from what I see, it doesn't seem like Solomon wrote this. It seems more likely that King is like a pet name or something. But anyways, I wanted to just share a couple things also personally, and that is, ironically, I've been so tired lately. I've been talking a little bit about my love of sleep, but I went to the ER last night because I was having extreme, like debilitating pain in the back of my neck. And I've always had pain in the back of my neck, but because I have arthritis there. But this was pain that was just, I couldn't even hardly move. And then I had a fever around 3 o'clock after I did my lesson yesterday. I had a fever. And so my husband and I were concerned that, like, we called an online nurse, we called, you know, nighttime nurse, and we were a little afraid I had meningitis, which was ironic because we were just reading yesterday about Paul's thorn in his side and how one of the theories was it was meningitis. So I was like, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be crazy? Luckily, I don't have meningitis because that would be much worse. That's like an infection of your spine or the fluid around your spine. It can go up into your brain. So that would be very, very bad. So we were concerned. We did go to the ER, and it turns out I have mono, long story short. So apparently this pain and the fatigue is all a symptom of mono. And I know it's strange because that's a kiss, like a high school kissing disease, but I don't know. I'm not kissing anybody but my husband, I swear. And I'm 44, so I don't get it either. But strange trips to the ER seems to be my thing. So whatever. and the tiredness, like that explains why I'm so tired all the time. Really, it explains a lot of the issues I've had. And I guess the pain in my neck is from my glands growing, my lymph nodes getting bigger and bigger, and they're probably pressing on something in my spine. So anyways, that was just interesting. I wanted to share that with you. But also, I wanted to say really quickly that the woman in this relationship in Song of Psalms, I can identify with her, Song of Songs, because I was her. I didn't see myself as anything special. I was nobody from nowhere. And from what I saw in my life, men were nothing but trouble. My mother had failed relationship after failed relationship. She was abused. We were all abused. And I never saw myself being married or certainly having a healthy relationship where I was valued and cherished. And it took me a long time to feel confident in my marriage that he wasn't going to leave me. My husband, I will say I'm so blessed to have met him and married him, and that God opened his eyes and heart to see me the way that he does is, it's a miracle, really. He thinks I'm way more than I am, and he's amazing. I just, the fact that he even considers me, I don't know, I pinch myself a lot, but he's pretty awesome guy, and he gave me honor before I even knew I could have honor, before I, you know, he honored me in a way that I just had never seen. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know. I remember him saying to a friend one time, oh, Jamie would kill me if I did that. And I thought, well, you mean I could say that you can't do something and you wouldn't do it? That just floored me. So anyways, love my guy. Feeling very thankful for him today because I saw us in this story. So I think I'm going to enjoy reading this very much because of that. Anyways, I hope you all have a great day. That's it for today, and I will talk to you soon.